Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, while mourning the loss of live theater, we are being offered lots of the virtual variety, more each week, whether actual readings of plays or conversations with those who make them happen, to performances, musical and not, from shows and so on. The plus potential is many non-theater goers may get turned on to the material and become even more open to giving the real thing a try when theaters reopen. The fear is people may become used to experiencing theater this way, with that the idea of spending hundreds of dollars and taking off their pajamas, not to mention sitting in spaces packed with others, well, we will know when we will know. I'll have some thoughts on all this from a few lovely voices, and I'll pay tribute to another man of the stage who has left us. But first, my usual rundown of some intriguing offerings for the coming week and likely beyond. Now, Sunday, as in last night, seemingly every Broadway star still living zoomed a tribute to Stephen Sondheim on his 90th birthday. It was presented by Broadway.com via YouTube, and where I pray it will remain forever, so everyone can appreciate Sondheim's work all over again. Highlights? Too many to mention, though I won't soon forget Christine Baranski, Meryl Streep, and Audra McDonald toasting the ladies who lunch, not to mention Jake Gyllenhaal and Anna Lee Ashford's moving on from Sunday in the Park, and Donna Murphy's Sending the Clowns, one boffo turn after another. Now, as for what's to come, the MCC Company opened in 1987 with a play called Beirut, about, of all things, a plague. Well, on Tuesday, as in tomorrow, a reading will be performed of that play, starring Marissa Tomei, Patrick Breen, and Oscar Isaac. You pay a hefty $5 for a seat in your house to listen to three wonderful actors. These readings of plays can be pretty close to thrilling. This past weekend, the Actors Fund presented George Bernard Shaw's Arms and the Man. It was hilarious with truly amazing actors, including last year's Tony winner, Santino Fontana. The way to get on as a lady is the same as the way to get on as a servant, was one line that stuck with me. The Red Bull Company is presenting all kinds of things. Tonight, I'll be watching a conversation with the actress Elizabeth Marble, who you will recognize from TV series like Homeland and House of Cards. I saw her last summer in Shakespeare in the Park's Julius Caesar portraying Mark Antony. Yep, you heard that right, and she did it right. I'm sure these talks also are recorded for future streaming. Speaking of Shakespeare, I watched a delightful conversation about one of his most controversial characters, that being Shylock, on the 92nd Street Y site, which is constantly offering gems from its archive. Judaism was the main subject, of course, and the British novelist Howard Jacobson and the esteemed Bard professor at Columbia, James Shapiro, shared fascinating takes on how Shylock has been interpreted through the decades, even wondering if it is done better when not portrayed by a Jew. It is, of course, always a privilege to watch Cicely Tyson perform, even if for only 3 minutes. Well, we won't be seeing her doing it again live, but the Center Theater Group in Los Angeles is streaming scenes from her last role there and Horton Foote's A Trip to Bountiful. You may be standing on your feet clapping hands as she breaks into song, praising the Lord. I don't know why he can't be with me every day, she muses. Every week, it seems, I plug National Theater Live because, well, it keeps offering one amazing production after another. This Thursday and Friday, you can catch Benedict Cumberbatch in Frankenstein. Check the times, I think 2 p.m. on this coast. The Lehman Trilogy, which started at the National Theater and was rehearsing for Broadway, is also on the way. This Wednesday at 7:30, the Public Theater will be streaming What Do We Need to Talk About?, the latest, and I mean completely current, of Richard Nelson's Apple Family plays. His fictional but now familiar clan will be portrayed by his usual actors who will be in their Rhinebeck home musing on life in quarantine. I, for one, am grateful yet again to the Public. Speaking of being grateful, I was fortunate to see Brian Dennehy, who died last week, on stage several times, always such a powerful force. Some feel his Willie Loman was up there with the best. And I believe I saw Dennehy's last stage work in Los Angeles a few years ago in Samuel Beckett's Crap's Last Tape, virtually a one-man, one act. Apparently he needed an earplug to feed lines when necessary, but he was still something special, especially in a small venue. He will be missed. And speaking of stage legends, Joel Grey is now 88, and he surprised a lot of folks a season or two ago by directing a Yiddish version of Fiddler on the Roof. Against all odds, it found a large audience. Well, last week in the New York Times, Grey penned a powerful editorial. Among other things, he wrote, and I quote here, "Privately, we are keeping our community intact through video chats and telephone calls. When one of us falls ill, the other members of our community rally around. While the Moulin Rouge actor Danny Burstein was hospitalized recovering from the coronavirus, I spoke to him numerous times every day. Right now is another actor who has been infected. Nick Cordieri battles the illness. A group of his friends hold a daily online gathering to pray, commune, and dance to his original music. Publicly, our analog art form has gone digital, play readings over Zoom, musical performances via Instagram Live, and the proliferation of new podcasts. Theater people are nothing if not resourceful when it comes to reaching an audience. Our ability to connect with audiences and one another through technology is useful, but I miss the real thing. I long to hail a cab, head to Midtown, hand over my ticket, grab a playbill, and settle into my seat as a thousand strangers and I breathlessly wait for the lights to go down and the curtain to go up." Ah, well, amen to that, Joel. Nicely written. And so we wonder, will curtains go up again? Will people get in those cabs, pay those prices to head to Broadway as fans or performers? Well, I want to share a few thoughts of longtime TV writer and playwright Arnold Margolin. I often recite his words here, I know. He emailed me this week wondering, "I can't imagine people planning a theater, restaurant, see the sights vacation in New York City for another 4 or 5 years. I think I might like to see some plays with the actors in mask with an audience where everyone is seated 6 feet apart. Waiting for Godot might work. Hello, Dolly, not so much. A stage kiss might consist of actors throwing them at one another. And how long will it take audiences to get sick of plays about the pandemic? And how long before you can do a comedy about it? And what will be the first pandemic musical? And what will be the first show called Pandemonium? Well, anyway, thank you for those words as well, Arnold. As you know, I often like to leave with some humor or suggestions of some. The inimitable Randy Rainbow's latest has just gone up, called Just a Spoonful of Clorox. Well, it's worth checking out on YouTube. I'm certainly not going to sing it here. But anyway, Jill, it's nice to leave on some other folks' observations for a change.
Always. Hey, how is it working technically? I know that we're having our own quiet issues as people you know do these things on streaming and so forth, town meetings and the like, and people are definitely adjusting. But
question. And people are being very sympathetic, by the way, you know, and they're doing it from their living rooms and there's a delay. Last night, the Sondheim tribute, my God, that had a 45-minute delay. I mean, it was a blank, you know, wait. There were 1,000 people writing chats on the lines, you know, is this going to start? Some people gave up, frankly. I was almost giving up, and then I got a text from somebody saying it's gone on, and it was supposed to start at 8:15. And then it was totally smooth from then on. And at the end, when Raul Esparza, the host, came on to thank people, he mentioned it. He said, "Thanks for sticking through some technical problems." So it's tough. Again, I think people are being very sympathetic, but this is amazing stuff. I mean, you know, you got so many things going on and probably one director sitting in a control room. So There's a lot of sympathy, and most of the other ones I've seen, the readings, those have all been very smooth, but it's tough, as you know. I'm sure even there.
Right. One of the things yesterday, I was watching, I think it was a news show. It was some political show in the morning, and I believe it was, I know what it was. And Barry Diller was on. And he was in his office.
I heard about that. Yeah.
And it shows the need for lighting. You know, people just don't have the capacity. And as many of these news shows during the day are using people on Skype or whatever, you can see the little notes being typed back and forth. You can see all sorts of things. And it makes me wonder kind of what level of, I mean, this is all fine temporarily, but I think that there will be, in due course, a real desire to get back to a less DIY.
It's a job. Lester Holt has turned his one of his room, his library, I guess, in his apartment into a faux studio. And
I think some people have the resources to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
I think other people, guests more. Slightly different. But if you're a guest, you go into. It was a perfectly reasonable thing for him to do. It's just that nobody. I used to have this lament about certain people on TV and how it is that no producer ever said, don't wear that.
You can't wear
that. It looks different. It looks great. It looks great on you. It looks terrible on camera. And yeah, I just think that those fault lines are being more readily exposed, where it's, right, you can't just sit down and... many people of a younger ilk now just believe that you can sit down, turn a camera on, not in the business, and voila.
But I hate to sound sexist there, but as a woman, I appreciate that when I turn on, I'll see Nicole Wallace or somebody on news, and you know that they didn't go to makeup because they don't have a makeup person, doing their makeup and hair, and there they are without eyeliner, and the hair's a little messy, and, like most of us look. But, I'm sure they're looking forward to getting back as well. But listen, I hate to be a pessimist.
Then don't.
But I think it's going to be a while. Certainly it's going to be a while before we're going to Broadway.
Question, and do you have any idea, somebody raised this, not I, but I was struck because I didn't have time to look at it. How long before, after the Spanish flu, after that pandemic, how long before restaurants and...
That's a really good question.
And Broadway, because we certainly life began again. We had to have the Roaring Twenties to get to the 30s.
That's right. Did we have Broadway in the?
You most certainly did. You've had Broadway since the beginning of time.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have to check that out. It's time. To get back. Would that be considered essential, non-essential? As I keep saying, to me, bars are considered essential, but they're not back yet. What more do we need than toasting those ladies who lunch?
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.